The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Isola, Duncan, Spain, and Yates on Russ's trip, Wilson's hit, whether the Browns could trade Baker Mayfield for Aaron Rodgers, and this Mets imaginary hitting coach story. Let's go around the horn.
May the force be with you all.
Gotta appreciate what you got while you got it. It was a Davante Adams tweet, and Aaron Rodgers liked it. What does that mean? It means nothing and everything, and that's all I'm gonna say about that. Bill Barnwell wrote up trade suggestions, and the teams he had is in play for possible trades. The Broncos, the Raiders, the Titans, the Dolphins, the Giants, Washington, and the Cleveland Browns, and that has my interest peaked here. Frank Isola, if there's one team you think that can get the Packers to listen to a Rodgers deal, could it be the Browns trading Baker Mayfield?
Why not? It would be out of conference, which is what you want to do. And think about what it would do for his legacy. You win a Super Bowl with Green Bay, and then you win one in Cleveland. They've never been to a Super Bowl. I'll give you another team, though, in the AFC. What about the New England Patriots with Bill Belichick? He goes there, wins a championship. That would kind of do a little something to Tom Brady as well. If not Cleveland, what about New England?
Okay, but let me ask you point blank. If you're Cleveland, would you trade Baker Mayfield for Aaron Rodgers?
100% I would, but if I'm Green Bay, I am not trading Aaron Rodgers. It's only April. He'll get over this. This happens every year. He still gives us the best chance to win right now. Cleveland can dream. I'm not trading.
L. Duncan, how about you?
It's May, by the way. It's May, everybody. I mean, everyone should. It is May.
Late April.
It's going to be May. We all saw the Justin Timberlake memes.
He complained in April.
All right, now, answer the question. If you're Cleveland, would you make that trade? If you're Green Bay, would you be interested?
I would absolutely make that trade. If you're Green Bay, it depends on whether you think Jordan Love is ready to start, right? Like, if you think he's ready to start, then you don't have to make that trade with the Browns. You could make that trade with the Broncos, still get a nice haul, still get some really good cornerstones for your future, and you don't have to worry about the quarterback position. But, yeah, this makes great sense if you don't think Jordan Love's ready to play, because if you're the Browns, you don't have to pay market value for a quarterback who has not consistently shown you he's worth $100 million. Let's be real. Aaron Rodgers' deal is pretty palatable. I think he's on a three-year, $73 million extension. You are instantly a contender because you've got one of the best rosters on paper in the NFL. I would certainly get it done if I was the Packers, because they actually have the leverage in their favor, guys. Aaron Rodgers, if he's just going to retire like everybody seems to think, could potentially owe them almost $30 million, and they're not going to tell him keep your money like the Colts did Andrew Luck.
Clinton Yates, on any trade for Rodgers, but specifically Cleveland, just play that one out for me for a second.
I like the Cleveland idea. That's a team that's very good. We all talked about them as America's team in the last couple of years. And if they add an injection like Rodgers, I think they absolutely get better. There is something to be said, though, about what you've invested already in Baker Mayfield. But when it comes to the Packers, to quote my man Master Yoda, do or do not. There is no try. You guys are taking way too long with this noise. Either get rid of him, because you know that there's a bunch of teams that would gladly take Aaron Rodgers. Or if you're Rodgers, could you please retire so we can move on? I don't understand why they're going back and forth on this. I would not trade him. He would be my quarterback if I were
Sarah shaking her head no. Go ahead, Sarah.
No, the timing is the whole point. He's not going to retire. To Al's point, he's not giving back $30 million. He wants to play into his 40s, so he's not going to miss a whole year, give up a bunch of money, and then come back on another team a year from now. The Packers have no reason to get rid of him now. They have to wait till after June 1st. Otherwise, it's economically unfeasible. So they are going to have to try to patch this up. And I think, despite Rob Domofsky, who is our Packers expert here at ESPN, saying he thinks there's a 5% or less chance that Aaron Rodgers will keep playing for the Packers, I still think that's where we end up. He is really agreeing peeved about them not giving him more guarantees and restructuring his deal. If they can give him a small raise and at least give him guarantees across the next 3 years, I think he sticks around. Because to Elle's point, their guy that they have set up to follow in his footsteps, Jordan Love, was inactive last season. He ran the scout team. He is not ready. So unless you're trading for the Browns and you get Baker Mayfield, you get 2 years to look at him and figure out who you like better, you have to find a trade that actually gives you a quarterback because Love is not ready.
Good point, Sarah, but there were two L's points in there, so if that's the case, I'll give L the points, if that's what you're saying. Real quick, though, Clinton, you said do or do not, there is no try. Well, if the Browns try to acquire Rodgers here and Baker Mayfield gets in his feelings, what position does that put them in?
It's a difficult one, but Baker Mayfield, you know, wakes up feeling dangerous. I think he's actually the kind of guy that would not completely crush his confidence in an NFL situation. Okay. I would not be completely, you know, against that if I were him.
We'll move on. $5,000 fine, no suspension. That's what the NHL has given Tom Wilson. $5,000 is the maximum allowable by the CBA. How that drives with what you're seeing here as Wilson looks to put Artemi Panarin's body and hair down while hitting him in the face and Panarin's head hits ice. And how that jives with this headline in the New York Post from Larry Brooks. NHL must ban Tom Wilson for nearly killing Panarin. Washington coach Peter Laviolette called it just a scrum. Capitals social media had fun with it too. 10-minute misconduct, what the call was on the ice. Panarin, there's only 3 games left in Rangers season, and they've been eliminated, will not play the rest of the season. Sarah, what was this? A Tom Wilson problem, an NHL problem, or, as they ruled, not as bad as it may have looked?
Yeah, I mean, the fine was the most they could give, but clearly suspensions and other things were potentially at play, and that's where it needs to go with Wilson. He's had 5 suspensions already. He's had incidents before that lead you to realize that he doesn't respect the opponents on the ice. The Panarin issue came from a dead play in the crease where he decides to punch a player on his stomach in the back of the head. That's the moment that starts all this. Now, it's really hard to regulate in a sport that has fighting, right? Trying to figure out when things come into play as just a scrum and when things are the result of players going outside of the rules. But when Wilson has been punished as many times as he has, at some point, you overpunish even something like this that for another player wouldn't be as big of a deal because you have to at least get him in line and have him respect the people on the ice with him.
Clinton Yates, you're in Washington. You know Wilson well. You know how good of a player he is without all these shenanigans on the side. What did you see last night?
To paraphrase Mon Mothma, many humans have been harmed who bring us this information. Tom Wilson is a reckless player in the NHL, and the NHL does not care. It's not about whether or not each incident is the most egregious on earth or whether or not the overall concept of whether you think they should be punished is there. Whenever he seems to be on the ice in situations like this, he gets out of his game as a winger because he can't decide whether or not he wants to fight or just be physical. It's annoying as a Capitals fan. It makes even less sense largely from an NHL standpoint, and I don't get why there aren't not better systems in place to make sure that guys like this know you're not making anybody look good with this style of play. It's annoying.
Should there be a suspension? Should he be banned like the New York Post wrote?
You know, it's difficult to say there should be a suspension because of the way that the precedent all works, but that's part of this larger issue here. If the NHL wanted to get rid of this element of the game, they would. It's a hockey issue and a league issue, and it's annoying to look
at. Frank Isola?
First of all, he's just playing by the rules, believe it or not. I think the punch to the back of the head, that should result in a suspension. But if you go back to a few years ago when the Capitals won the Stanley Cup, Game 7 of the conference finals against Tampa Bay, he got into a fight, talking about Tom Wilson, late in the first period. That kind of changed momentum. So the purists would say, you know what, hockey's part of the sport, and I get it. They don't mind if you got the guy, you're grabbing him by his jersey or by his sweater, and you're looking face-to-face. But hitting a guy while he's down in the back of the head, that should be a suspension, absolutely.
And Al Duncan.
Okay, full disclosure, and we all know this. Like, what I know about hockey could probably fill this water bottle cap right here. And even I know that a Tom Wilson hat trick is a goal, an assist, and second-degree assault. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. My question is, does at some point the Players Association get involved? We saw Jacksonville a couple of seasons ago take the unprecedented move, the PA, rather, and say, don't go to Jacksonville because this place is absolutely terrible. And I wonder if your whole purpose is to protect the interests of your players, their health and well-being, why they're not stepping in and saying, this is enough. This guy obviously he's a repeat offender. He's got a long history of this. And on top of that, Clinton, I'm sorry, but the Capitals, you're talking about tone deaf. Tony sort of glossed over it with the social media. For someone to think it was okay to tweet, Capitals and violence and joke about it. Like, Capitals chooses violence.
That's hockey.
That's crazy to me.
Dude, thank you for going deeper on that, Elle. And Clinton, you may be in the minority here. You say, as a Capitals fan, this is annoying. There are Capitals fans who appreciate this, as that social media post would suggest. And once again, Tom Wilson can be a very good player in this league without any of this. Wouldn't you agree?
Yep.
Yes, that's the whole issue, is that it's not helpful for him. And from a personality standpoint, it's not necessarily as helpful. I don't care how many fights Frankie gets into in the playoffs for the team overall. I realized what happened in that last game, but the only reason they weren't more highly upset, you know, highly at risk because he was in the penalty box is because he knocked that other guy out of the game. It's a bad look. We can't have that, man.
One more story here, and it's about the fourth time we've done this story this season, but Russell Westbrook, we have to take a moment here for this triple-double last night. 14 points, 21 rebounds, 24 assists. His third 20-rebound, 20-assist game, or actually I should say the third in NBA history. He has another one, and then Wilt has the other. He also clinched his fourth season triple-double because if he scores 0-0-0 the rest of the way, he'd still average a triple-double, and that's all I'm going to say about that. Clinton Yates, there's so much stat hate. Westbrook seems to be answering questions about it nightly, about watered-down numbers, but what is this, and what's it doing to the Wizards?
I think it's a fantastic achievement for Westbrook personally. It's something he takes a lot of pride in. But as for the Wizards overall, what are we talking about? They're in 10th place. They were in 10th place at the end of the year last year. To quote Ben Kenobi, these are not the droids I'm looking for. They're not that fun to watch. Westbrook doesn't take any of the last shots. It's not like they're going to scream into the playoffs and beat anybody. That's fine. It's separate matter, though. Westbrook probably doesn't get enough respect for what he's doing because, hello, nobody's watching that team because they're not that entertaining. It is what it is.
Brett Gasola, you got a smirk on your face. What are you laughing at?
First of all, they finished 22 games under 500. This right now, they're 5 games under. So stop telling me how they're at the same place they were last year, number one. Number two, you're just upset because you hated the trade, because you wanted John Wall on the team, and you missed out on the biggest stats. Westbrook took 8 shots. He took 0 3-pointers. He's making a huge impact on a game without having to score. That's why Scott Brooks was throwing bouquets at his feet, telling him he could be, you know, he's the second best point guard of all time. We all know that's not true, but Scott loves Russell Westbrook because he had him in Oklahoma City and in Washington. He's played great, Russell Westbrook.
L. Duncan.
He deserves all the credit.
Yeah, Yates, you're so cool in your bomber jacket and your pencil. Triple-doubles are no big deal. NBD, they're not fun to watch. I don't care. It's an individual stat. This is the problem. We all gloss over greatness. We're so used to seeing James Harden drop 50 every night and Steph throw up 100 threes every night that we don't even care. His teams, these are not hollow numbers. When he hits a triple-double, Russell Westbrook, his teams win over 75% of the time. That is significant. In 3 quarters, it only takes him for 54 of his triple-doubles, 3 quarters to make that mark. Clinton, stop it. You're what's wrong with the casual fan
Yo,
now, or the real fan.
Wow.
Casual fans? I didn't realize you guys were watching this many Wizards games. Who knew? America was watching the Wizards. Hey,
you're in it right now, and Spain hasn't even come to the table yet. Go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah, I'm actually sitting in between the band and the fiery over there because I think Clinton's point is a valid one. If you actually watch the Wizards regularly, he can be incredibly inefficient. He's one of the worst shooters, one of the worst mid-range shooters. Like, all of these flaws that pop up in his game are somewhat covered up by the fact that by the end of the game, he's got a triple-double and he's very efficient at setting up his teammates. And Elle is right. Give her the points again.
What is
his team wins when he puts up numbers
eight
like that.
Shots.
The problem is we
he
always want to go one way or the other, and we don't have a conversation about that middle ground where his individual numbers can be fantastic, but the team still ain't that great, and he's got a lot of flaws in his game, which prevents them from taking the next step up.
Sounds like you're talking about John Wall, not Russell Westbrook. He helps you win.
Right. They're just as relevant as
they're not better.
We're done here.
Reminder.
Buy yourself
back.
And that's all I'm going to say about that.
They're not better.
They're just the same.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
The Dodgers, riding high in April, shot down in May. With May, when you have a pitching staff with three Cy Youngs and another ace and so many live arms, maybe not cause for panic, but there's few injuries with those live arms, by the way, Bryce, Gonsolin. So Dustin May, Tommy John surgery. And he knew it right away. Clinton, what does it mean for LA?
Yeah, May felt a great disturbance in the force. If you watched that live, he just threw it and said, I gotta go. It was terrible. What it means for the Dodgers is that what's going on with their staff is very tricky. David Price, who they wanted for these exact situations, who can swing between the bullpen and the starting staff, he's hurt as well, as is Joe Kelly, who's dinged up. That's an issue as far as all of them are concerned. They have been in a different place since they played.
So you are concerned. The defending champs in May should be concerned right now. We turn our attention to Sarah Spade. I wish Plaschke was here today, Sarah, especially after what the Cubs did to Kershaw in the first inning today. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know as much about Star Wars, but Plaschke, I am your daddy, I guess, is like a line from the movie. I would never wish for anyone to get injured, and I do think that in baseball there's so many ebbs and flows that we can't count out the Dodgers and what a great team they have. But because this is pitchers being out for the season, trying to figure out who fills those holes, and in addition to their hitting problems, there is absolutely reason for grave concern.
But this is a team, Plaschke told us they were going to win 118 games or whatever it was, 130 games. This is a team with three Cy Youngs and Walker Buehler, Frank Isola. Are you hitting the panic button?
No, I'm not. I feel badly for the ginger assassin, Dustin May, who pitched so well in that great Sunday night game against the Padres. You know this, Tony. You get to the postseason, you can get away with three quality starters. I still think they have that on that staff. They should be fine.
L. Duncan.
Yeah, if we're going to go Star Wars, help me, any of you other starting pitchers. You're my only hope. Are you joking? I would put those four starters up against any other rotation in baseball. Y'all relax. Like, if you're panicked about whether they're going to break the record for most wins of the season, maybe there would be a reason to panic for that. But if you're talking about whether this affects their championship worries or concerns, come on, you guys. It's May. The bright side is Trevor Bauer now is super happy because maybe he'll get an opportunity to pitch on 4 days rest, which is what he's been advocating for his entire career. Let him do it.
Buy or sell two, a pros to college jump. Nicky Collin leaving the Atlanta Dream for Baylor to take over the position. Kim Mulkey just left open. Sarah, buy or sell college over the pros and the order that puts the WNBA in that equation and the position the Dream find themselves in because the season starts in 10 days.
Yeah, I mean, the Dream, they have new ownership after forcing out an owner that nobody wanted anymore. They got rid of their joint president GM in April. Now, with 11 days to go, they lose their head coach. There's so many conversations to be had here about not paying players in college allows them to jack up salaries of the coaches versus the WNBA in its 25th year, still being relatively nascent in terms of drawing the appeal and attention that sometimes is afforded colleges by alums and the pageantry of the college March Madness system. So this is incredible, and I'm interested to see what Renee Montgomery in her ownership role does to try to fix this.
Well, let me ask you point blank. What's the better job, the Baylor head coaching position or coaching in the pros of the Atlanta Dream?
The Dream are kind of a mess right now, but imagine stepping into Kim Mulkey's footsteps.
Frank Isola.
Yeah, she has big, expensive shoes to fill at Baylor, that's for sure. I still think the WNBA is kind of where the NBA used to be, where having a college job, more prestigious, more lucrative as well. I still, you know, it's probably going to take some time where the money is rolling in, where the coaches, the best coaches, are going to want to be in the WNBA.
L. Duncan.
That's the point. Yeah, she's walking into huge expectations, but she's walking into expectations. You guys, like, sadly, I bet you if Nicky Collin walked 15 feet around the arena, around State Farm in the arena, no one would know who she is. If she can go down there and have any semblance of success in Baylor, she'll become just like Kim Mulkey. She'll be a freaking sports legend. They'll love her. They'll adore her. She'll have the equity that she's always looked for. So, no, there's expectation at least. Why not? It's a challenge.
And Glenn Yates.
I was going to say something similar. I find you guys' lack of faith disturbing in terms of the fact that she's walking into a job that she can keep for a lot longer off the rip. And I very much believe in the power of professional coaches being at the lower developmental levels so that girls and women can get better experiences as far as what they know to come coming at the next point. So, yeah, I think this is a positive situation. There's a lot of ways this can work.
Glenn Yates, what are you getting into tonight?
Oh, well, I will be on baseball, Major League Baseball, Star Wars broadcast. Brought my friend Dio, by the way.
Nobody loves it more than you do, Clinton. I'm glad you're getting this opportunity. Sarah Spain, thanks for today. Frank Isola, L. Duncan, showdown in 2 minutes.
I'm going to L. They were right.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Mets firing hitting coaches Chili Davis and Tom Slater. Team says it's not about the 23 games they played so far. It's about the club's vision. But because it's the Mets, we have a little addition to this story. Mets players have been talking about a shadow hitting coach by the name of Donnie Stevenson lately, who no one can prove exists. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Frank, make sense of this for the New York Mets.
That's when you get the analytics departments involved. This is right out of the George Steinbrenner School of Irrational Thinking. You're struggling. Lindor's struggling. They're booing him. Fire the hitting coach, Chili Davis. Come on, man. I don't go with
Duncan?
That.
Well, yeah, the Mets didn't promote Chili Davis when they had the best offense in MLB last year. I'm just saying, Zach Scott, the interim GM for the Mets, was also with Boston when they fired Chili Davis. Maybe Zach is a soup guy because he hates chili.
I didn't follow what you were doing there until the very end. Get the point, L. Duncan. We'll move on. All right, I love this next story. Football players are fast, but are they track fast? We're going to find out. DK Metcalf, he had the greatest play of the NFL season last year, which was just him running down Buda Baker, has entered in the 100 meters at the Golden Games. This is an offer he picked up from USATF. How do you think this will play out, L.?
Yeah, I think this is a fun story for fans and so insulting for the Olympic track athletes.
Thank you.
I mean, DK Metcalf ran in high school. He ran the triple jump, okay? And he ran the hurdles. He doesn't do this. Even his high school coach was like, he's not fast enough for this. But it'll be a fun story.
Let's criticize people for trying. Bob Hayes, didn't he play football? Ronaldo Skeets Nehemiah, didn't he play football and run track? Why not? The guy's fast. Go out there. What's wrong with that?
It's insulting to the track athletes who are running 9.8s and 9.9s.
He is a track athlete.
L. Duncan, take the FaceTime.
All right. It is about an hour and a half south of where I am, Christmas afternoon. If, of course, Christmas to you means berating colleagues because they cheated you out of a promotion. Because for the first time since 2017, the Astros are headed to the Bronx. And I am just imploring Dusty Baker, please, please don't do this. It's irrational to boo us because there's only four or five of us left and blah, blah, blah. Let these people have their moment because, Clinton, I am so looking forward to watching Obi-Wan Kenobi boo Alex Bregman. Boo!
We'll see you tomorrow.